Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour Lovecast.
Lovecast with Kev and Liz.
I just totally made up Lovecast
jingles
right there.
Jingles everywhere.
Jingles everywhere. Thank you, guys. Actually, speaking of jingles, thank you, everyone, for bringing or sending us your jingles. We're going to just start randomly inserting them into the podcast. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. Again, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Miss Kev on Stage.
And I'm her co-host, the Kev on Stage. University.
We are so glad that you are here with us today. Before we start.
Okay.
Before we actually start, I want to give the disclaimer that the point of the Love Hour is that Kevin and I consider ourselves marriage champions. We are not marriage counselors. This is not a substitute for marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. And so if you like what you hear, you can support us by giving us a thumbs up, by rating us, all of those things.
Five stars only.
You five stars
if you
only.
Don't feel five star, then don't go over there.
Go seek the Lord again. Seek his face again. And you heard him wrong.
Yes.
He always communicates five stars.
We got a lot of ratings.
We do have a lot of ratings. Thank you guys so much for your support. But if there's something that we're talking about and it hits a nerve with you, make sure you share it with your spouse. And we want healthy dialogue and conversations to come from that. And then if you need, go seek a therapist.
Yes.
There ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yep.
Go seek a therapist.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little therapy.
I was about to say, child.
I do see something wrong with R. Kelly.
I was about to say, all the canceled. You're about to get the podcast canceled. Trying to quote him. Okay, so I wanted to get that out the way. And so now we're going to start, as always, with our this or that question.
Or this.
Wait, I have one more announcement. I need to just do all of my announcements. I need to write them down.
Have them church announcements. Y'all sit down. We're having church announcements with Mother Frederick. Amen.
I know. I love
Govern yourselves accordingly.
I literally need to like write them down. They're always in my head. And then I should write them down so I don't forget.
Okay.
So my last announcement is that the month of February is going to be fully dedicated to love and sex.
That's P and the G.
Okay. And I am so excited. I have like some really exciting topics. I have a sexologist that's going to be joining us. I have someone who is a marriage therapist he's a sex therapist. Him and his wife are going to be joining us. I'll put out flyers and start advertising in the month of February. We're going to be giving away a couple's box.
Full of sexy items for you. Full of sexy
items. I might even have someone come on. They're not yet confirmed, but I might have someone come on that is the owner of a sex toy shop store.
Oh my God. Oh, Father in heaven, look what the new Christians is doing. They putting stuff in stuff.
I want to challenge you guys. I'm challenging myself, to be honest.
What's that hole? I've never seen it before. I've never seen it up close.
I know I'm nervous because I'm like this at all times.
I want to touch you here now. What do you like about?
I am.
I hope you like it. Yeah, I will try something new. Will you be okay with me touching you there with my tongue?
What?
I like it. Do you like the way that feels in your body?
I sound like Bane.
So anyway, the month of February is going to be...
tell them our slogan.
Which is?
Taking the stigma out of sex.
Yes.
Because Melissa and I, we grew up very churchy, very conservative. Melissa was a virgin until she got married. I was not. there was still a lot of... sex was shrouded in secrecy and like we didn't grow up in an open dialogue.
Sex positive.
We didn't grow up in a sex positive open dialogue. My parents did not speak with me about sex at all. One time my mom asked me when I was like 20, 19, are you a virgin? I was like, Mom, you're probably about 3 years late for this conversation. I don't want to hear nothing, Kevin. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want That was it. My dad never talked to me about sex at all.
I want to bring on a family therapist who will talk to us about how to have that conversation, like how to build a sex positive and have a sex positive relationship with your kids about sus sex.
Hijos. Yeah, because we talk about sex with our children, our boys.
But I think it would be good to have someone like come on and like, give tips and advice. So if you're that person, reach out to me. Loveourpodcast.com at kevonstage.com. because lovehourpodcast.com is not an email address.
I was like, what? lovehourpodcast.com at kevonstage.com.
Lovehourpodcast@kevonstage.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Those are seriously all of my announcements. So now we're going to go into the this or that question. So the question is, and all of the this or that questions for February are about to be.
Wait, can we just, can I make a suggestion to you as a producer? Can we just call it that or this?
It's this or that, though.
I know, but we're making it our own. Because the jingle.
You're the only one. I've always said this or that.
You just. People. The jingle says that or this, too.
Because Kevin you Liss. Say that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Can we just call it officially that or this with Kevin Liss? This is our segment. Only because it rhymes. This or that one. Listen, Kev. I mean.
You should have came up with a new jingle because I named the segment this or that.
But that doesn't rhyme with either of our names. If my name was Pat, it'd be perfect.
What?
This or that with listen, Pat. Rhymes. Jingles need rhyming. I digress. Go ahead.
It's time for this or that with Kevin Liz. This or that with Kevin Liz. Tomato.
Tomato. Potato.
Potato. We choose each other no matter the problem.
This or that with Kevin Liz. This or that with Kevin Liz.
This or that.
Okay.
The question is...
Oh, you were saying all the this or that's in February are going to be about sex.
Yes, all the this or that in February are about to be about sex. I already have them written down, and I'm super excited about them. Okay, but anyway, this month or today's this or that question is, would you rather be able to control the weather or talk to animals?
Ooh. The weather of the whole world or where I am?
Let's say the whole world.
The whole world's weather?
Yeah.
Oh, that. You could make money off that.
You probably
you could predict futures on orange crops. You could place bets. What do animals have to talk about? Dog probably just be saying bark. In his head, it'd just be saying bark. And then he'd be barking.
But like, you don't know if you'd be able to talk to them. You'd be able to find out if they were saying different things.
But then I could be Storm.
That would
and
be
And Storm
lit.
Was saving the day.
Storm was my favorite X-Men.
All the X-Men. Yeah, if they did not have her, they was getting washed.
She was absolutely 100% my favorite X-Men. Okay, that was an easy question. We'll scrap it. We'll move on because I agree.
Because I was talking to animals would be cool, but how could I monetize that?
Hello?
I mean, I just like the weather affects my day-to-day life.
That's
what
true.
Animals think? Tony Baker? Oh, he would love that.
Talk to animals?
To talk to animals.
Yeah.
He'd be Dr. Doolittle. But me? If I knew I'd never have to have a every day wherever I am at, it's 73.
So it's only you would only be able to control your where you are. The whole world, but where you but you have to be there.
Man, it would never rain again in my life.
But then it would be dry and everything would be dead.
Well, ain't my problem. I'm finna be dead too. 30 years.
That is your
That's
problem.
A good point. I never thought about like plants and wildlife. Ah, okay. It rains in LA when I'm on tour. Dude, whatever. When I'm not in town, whatever happens, happens. But you know how dope it would be to be able to be plan a show in Minnesota in January. People are like, it's going. Kev, what about the snow? Oh, little do you know, out of nowhere, it's gonna be 75 degrees on my day. Kev, I don't know. Every time he comes to town, it's a sunny day. Have you noticed that? People wouldn't even notice that.
They would. What if you weren't able to tell everybody, so you wouldn't be able to monetize it that way? Still the
so
same.
So I couldn't bet on it.
You couldn't. Yeah. No, you could bet on it, I guess, but you couldn't tell people, like, I control this, and if you want me to be where you are and control it there, then I'll do that, but you have to pay me.
Does it matter if I can't stunt?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I still think the weather is what I would do.
I agree.
Because I just feel like that could affect animals' thoughts. Mean, I would love to know why cats come in our backyard all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the one thing. Cats be in our backyard just walking. I feel like they're telling each other, you know, it's a great backyard to walk through.
I hate that.
Kevin Liz's backyard is great. They got a tree. They got a pool. They just be walking through and just chilling.
Dude.
So that's if I could trade it for one day, I'd be like, yo, cats, what is happening? But weather, man, that's... What about you?
I would choose weather, too. Weather was my answer to begin with, but I just thought it was just cooler. But after all of your answers, I definitely go with weather.
I don't think I would want the responsibility of the whole world, though.
That's why it would only be where you are. It would be like your own personal like weather system.
Could go to Seattle for a summer and it's never gonna rain that summer. Yes. And they're gonna be like, and then it's beautiful there.
Yeah, it is.
In the summer.
But only when it's not raining.
Yeah, and I travel enough to like, because I was in Dallas this weekend, it was freezing. I want an app. Dallas, I'm on the way, 75. Siri, make it 75 when I get there. Okay, and then I could get out of, like, if I didn't want to do something, or like if a rival comedian had a show, snowed out.
No, it's only where you are.
I'll go to his show, snowed out. That's I'll follow his tour and be like, bro, it's snowing.
You're being mean.
I would do it. Yeah, I'd be addictive.
You okay, so that was our better this question. Share what your, if you're watching us, what your response
You could put
response
the jingle at
would...
the end. That was that or this. Ding.
Share your this or
Josh,
that.
Josh, you'll find a place for it.
in the comment section, okay. If you are
weather
watching
or
us.
Dr. Little. Storm or Dr. Doolittle in the
Would
comments.
You rather essentially be Storm or Dr. Little? Okay, so now we're going to jump right into our topic today. Okay. And that is how do we navigate through life transitions?
I'm going through changes.
I don't even know that song.
No, it's the theme song to Big Mouth. You shouldn't watch it. It's awful.
Oh, I don't even know.
It's a great theme song, though.
Okay.
Going through changes.
So the spawn of this question, if I could use that.
Spawn.
Yeah, sure. We're going to go with it. or what spawned this question is probably better. Is, well, Kev brought it up, but honestly, we have been going through a lot of transitions.
Woo!
And when you go through transitions, they often affect you, mm-hmm. and therefore that's going to have an effect on your relationship.
Yes.
And sometimes those transitions can be detrimental to your relationship if you don't navigate them correctly.
Absolutely.
Having a healthy, happy relationship coming out of life transitions in a happy and healthy place in your relationship can be difficult.
Yes.
And can, if you don't navigate them correctly, can be an end to your relationship.
Absolutely.
So we have gone through quite a bit of transition.
You wanna list them out?
Yeah, just starting. I mean, there's just life transitions, and then we can go like more specifically to this last year or so. But for me, and we've talked about this, one of the biggest transitions that I've had in my life was my parents' divorce. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. We were talking about the postpartum depression episode, and I saw someone was like, I don't understand why that affected her so much. And the thing about me, and I think for most people, is that your nuclear home, where you grew up, is going to imprint who you are. Mm-hmm. It's going to forever have an imprint on who you are. That's your upbringing. That is like, I identify who I am with like that space of my mom, my dad, the house that I grew up with in, like all of those things. And when that is broken, and it's broken, it was broken for me so much later in life. So mm-hmm. I didn't grow up, you know, in this norm. This was a new norm I had to adjust to. That can be shattering for people.
Absolutely.
And when you compound that with the way that I found out, like there's a lot of other factors that was going on. But when you compound that with the fact that I just had a baby and like all of these other things, like
it was
that
compounded life changes.
Absolutely. It was a compounded life change. So that happened. And then I had, becoming a mother is a life change, not only for me, but it's going to affect you and I. Mm-hmm. And at the time Kevin and I started dating, obviously we were in high school, we didn't have any kids, and he was trying to do the play thing, and I was like right there, you know, doing the
stage manager
is what it's called in college. So on their plays, I had
every rehearsal,
the scripts, I'm calling the shots, I'm telling them where to go, I'm controlling the lighting, like I'm doing all of those things. I'm having like a very active role in
the most important role in play.
And it was actually a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
But then I have a baby, and I realize I can't do those things in the same capacity and have a child. Because he is quite literally an infant, and these practices are
hated on my dreams.
He did, but these practices are long and often, and trying arduous. To have both, and just simply having an infant in a play rehearsal mm-hmm. is just not the most ideal situation. So,
and it was so abrupt.
What do you mean?
You went from stage managing being very integral into everything we did mm-hmm. to not being at par at all.
Yeah. Well, you don't even really realize that, like, while you're pregnant, that that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happens. Like, you're all of a sudden, you're like, wait, this isn't going
to
work at all.
Because I think you tried at first.
Yeah.
But you brought Zay to a rehearsal or two, and you were just like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
It's too disruptive.
Because he's crying. You got to change him. You got to feed him. He don't like the play. Yeah, he's not a big fan of the writing.
So you have... So then you have, you know, that transition. And again, that's going affects me. It affects you. And then it affects us, to be honest. And then you quitting your job and getting fired from your job, trying to do the comedy thing. I have a vision of what our life is going to be, that we're both going to be working these 9-to-5 jobs and doing this, that, and the third.
Don't be visioning my life.
Well,
you're visioning my life. I didn't vision that.
But you didn't tell me that wasn't it until you got fired.
Secretly dreaming. Exactly. I sure didn't.
So then that
I had a plan. That is interesting.
Yes.
I had a vision for my life that I hadn't shared with you. Mm-hmm. You had a vision for our life together. And it wasn't until I got fired that I was like, I might as well tell her now. Because when I got fired, you're like, okay, what job are you going to get now? I was like, no, I don't want
to. Yeah, and I wasn't ready for that answer at all.
It didn't even work. I had to get a job. But
eventually. But you didn't get a job for a while.
Yeah, I was on unemployment. And you hear me?
For a while.
Okay, not that long.
No, but I mean, the point church. It wasn't like.
I worked at the church. Baby. Yeah. I wasn't even on unemployment for a year. It was a couple months. Oh, no, then I went back on it.
And then
what's up unemployment? I'm back. It's your boy. What's up with them little
so
checks?
Then after that was we moved.
Yes.
Isaiah got that job, or not that job. He's got a starring role in the Little Rascals remake. Mm-hmm. That changed our dynamics and our relationship. You wanted to move. I wasn't ready to move. Again, that was a vision of what I thought our life was going to be versus yours.
But by then you should have had an idea.
Moving was still not in the cards.
Moving was not part of it, though.
Okay.
We were trying to move to Dallas or Atlanta.
We had talked about it, but we had just bought a house. Like, it didn't, or not just, but we had had the house.
It didn't seem feasible.
Yeah, it didn't seem feasible. We just started at Boeing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, we would probably work there for 18 months to probably 18 months by the time we had moved. Okay, so all of that. And then we moved to L.A., mm-hmm. And this is like the most recent transition. So last year you went on tour. Last year I went on tour with you. And then my job was closing. So I was laid off. And this most recent I would actually almost say from the tour up until chow yesterday.
Man. Today.
Today.
This morning.
It has been probably even with all, I just give the background for all of those transitions because that's really what life is about.
Yes.
Transitioning.
And also staying married is about navigating those transitions. Yes. I think that is what the key, the longer we're married, the more I realize your ability to navigate life's transitions is the single most important part to whether you stay married or not.
Oh, absolutely. Because those transitions, they aren't just about the act of like, oh, we moved, or oh, we started a new job. They're also about how that act affects you.
Yes.
And how it changes you and how you adjust. And that adjustment or that change or that, you know, however it pegs you, it's going to make you interact with your spouse differently.
And you know what?
And well, hold on. And they can be resistant.
Remember we said
to
that?
Yes, we did. Your spouse can be resistant to that change. And that's what causes friction. And that's what causes that we're not, or that means we're not navigating this transition together.
Yes.
We're fighting through it.
Yes.
And then that's how you can wind up.
And interestingly enough, I think us being married for 15 years, almost 15 years, made this most recent transition that more. Usually being married for a long time helps us navigate stuff easier. But in this case, the length of time we've been doing something one way worked against this transition.
Right.
Because now you got to go to what we've been talking about this, but not on the podcast, the core programming.
Yes.
You know, so I feel like.
So explain to them what it is.
So core programming comes from the show Westworld that I watched. The robot monsters were, they were designed and they had these feelings, hopes, ambitions, whatever, right? And their core program was, say, Teddy, for example. He was the Cyclops guy, actor. I don't know his name. But his core part of one of his core programming things was to protect Dolores. And that every time he'd get killed, he'd wake up, protect Dolores. And he could, it's hard to go against that. And then every other robot was like, maybe was mischievous or whatever, but they had their core programming was the main thing that they do, right? So as they became self-aware in the show, they had to go against their core programming.
Okay.
And even when it was not in their best interest, it was hard to mm-hmm. like, to buck against what you kind of been programmed to do. So I want to talk about our most recent transition first and then okay. work backwards because okay. this is the most fresh one.
Okay.
So the thing Melissa and I have been dealing with the most is what made me Kev on stage is ambition, desire, sheer will, working alone
mm-hmm.
and just getting after it. Mm-hmm. Shoot, edit myself, come up with topic, study, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. What's going to make Kev on stage become Kev on Stage Studios and Family Affair Media
mm-hmm.
is letting go of some of those things mm-hmm. and letting Melissa do some work, doing some work with Josh, somebody, you know, getting a bigger team. Because to scale to where we are doing conferences and movies and TV shows and touring or whatever, it's impossible that I have to lead every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
So back up to last year when I want to do the tour, right? I first asked Melissa and my brother, hey, guys, want to go on tour? Want to do this?
This is before my job announced that they were closing.
Yes.
And this is, so I'm thinking, child, this is going to be a two-part episode. So just a little bit of context. So at the time, I thought I was going to quit my job. I decided to go part time.
I forgot about yes. this and how it so, affected me.
Yes. So I would decide I was going to, we had decided that I was going to quit and I
reneged.
I reneged.
She don't play spades, but she reneged in real life.
I don't, for whatever reason, I reneged. I was scared and I ended up reneging. But at the same time,
so hold on. Before you reneged, it was going to be me, Liz, and Jay.
Yes,
we was going to plan it. So I'm moving forward with this mindset. Then she reneges.
Then okay? I renege.
So but I'm already in my mind. The train is already started.
The train
and
is starting.
In my mind, when the train starts, it just picks up speed until it's Japanese bullet train, 500 miles per hour.
So it was going to be, yeah, me, Jason, Kev, Jason's Kevin's brother, doing the tour thing. And I was supposed to quit my job. I didn't. I ended up going part-time. And then I found out we were getting, and actually, what and the other thing,
sick.
Yeah, Jason got sick.
So now
so it was like all of these things. It was like when you have this plan, this is how things are going to go. A, B, and then C, because I've already laid this out. And then I was like, yeah, but I'm scared. And my job, when I went to them, it was like, I'm thinking about quitting or maybe going part-time. Like, what do you guys think? And they were like, well, actually, we were about to, like, we're literally writing up a new job. We're going to give you a promotion. What do you mean you're going to quit? And I was like, oh.
Quit thinking I was working that other job.
They were not
more work, yes, right, guys?
They were definitely.
What's the new pay?
Literally creating a position for me.
Yeah,
literally that was happening, and I'm walking in like I'm thinking about quitting, and I was scared. Like again, I'm the stable person in our relationship, never been the dreamer. So that's just context. Mm-hmm. So keep going.
So then she reneges. So she now can't do what.
The capacity.
She can't do what, because I'm going back to like, oh, stage manager Liz is back.
Yeah.
Me and Liz and Jay, Frederick's family. Right?
You so, do this song all the time, so, you and Jason.
So she gets, or he gets sick. He can't travel.
Travel.
And he was trying to do stuff, but it was like.
I didn't even feel comfortable with
Jay
it.
One time when he was getting sick, and I don't want to talk about his cancer because I will cry and I have stuff to do today. And I cannot be having to take a nap after this.
So tears, he traveled crying one does time. Make you
he wants,
so tired.
He wants to be on Asuka and I'm like, bro, I'm not going to cry for an hour. Oh, yeah. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was traveling with him one time and he's traveling with me and I'm like, oh, this dude,
yeah,
he cannot do. He's not strong. This is one city.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Show. And I'm like, you can't do this. And yeah. He's like, I got it. And then remember in Christmas, He was like, he was just frail, small. Yeah,
he was in no position.
And he had no beard. And I was like, ugh, you're coming around, you look like a turtle. It's just weird.
Stop it.
But no, but seriously, like, I realized, and this was before his treatment got intense.
Yeah.
I was like, Jay, you're going to have to get better. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get stronger. Do what the doctor says. You can't travel physically. Sure. Like, stop.
Sure.
So that happened. Liz stopped. So now I'm like, okay, now I got to plan this tour by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I start because this is what I know. Mm-hmm. All right. No problem. I won't even say I was mad at you.
Sure.
Like, I wasn't even mad. And I obviously wasn't mad at Jay, but I still had to get this work done.
Sure.
So what I had to do, I did as much as I could by myself. I not hired, but a friend of mine helped with the travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought on a producer, right? Me and Melissa, I didn't know we were going to go here today, but there's some...
Let me hear some, what you're about to no, say no, so I'm I not, can tell you to I'm, edit no, this
I'm
out,
Joshua. I'm not going
to
tell you to edit. It's going to be good. We're having conference calls with the tour producer, right?
And oh, Melissa, yes.
Melissa was... So this time, we would have the conference calls when I'd be driving home from work. Melissa would be on the phone, but have it on mute because you'd be homework with the boys, cooking, like,
so the conference call, duties. Again, just... context. So the conference call is about 5, maybe 6 o'clock. I'm getting off work. My boys go to, huh?
I was going to say you were full mom mode.
Yes. I'm getting off work, and they may have even been later. So most of the time I am getting off work. I'm going to pick up the boys, going to the grocery store, and then I'm cooking dinner. So I'm in, like, making sure the boys' homework is done. Like, I'm in that mode.
Yeah.
So we have this conference call. Sometimes I would be either en route to Joe's track soccer practice, or I would be coming home. It just depends on the timing of the conference call. But those are the type of things that were going on in my world at the time of this conference call. So keep going.
So one conference call you missed.
One conference call.
You forgot to dial in.
Okay.
Okay. And then the next two, you were like, you just had it on mute. You're okay. Cooking or whatever. So by the fourth one, these weren't necessarily like in sequential weeks, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. After like two or three in a row where you weren't really talking that much, I basically decided without your consent.
Yes.
I was like, Melissa's too busy for doing this. Actually, my real thought, Melissa doesn't want to do this.
Yes. That was your real thought. Happy you fixed it.
Yeah. Melissa doesn't want to do this. She just, if she wanted to do it, she would be talking, whatever. So let me help her. You know what, Melissa? I don't need you on the conference call.
These are his thoughts, not a conversation with us.
This is my thought mm-hmm. to her. My thought, I didn't express this to her. I did say, you know, Melissa, you probably don't worry about being on the conference
call. No, you didn't.
I never said that?
No. And I'm going to tell you why I know you didn't say that. Because the week that I only missed one conference call.
You only missed one.
And it was the last conference call.
Yes. And what happened was, conference calls.
Yes. And so the next week I called in. No one was on the phone. And I didn't tell you about that until later. But that's what happened.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember.
No, I told you that I called in and was on the call.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And nobody joined the call. And I didn't know that you canceled the conference call, started a separate track. Like, I didn't know any of those things.
Yes. So what I thought is, you know what? I'll just text the producer when I need stuff,
mm-hmm.
check on this venue, check on that venue, blah, blah, blah. I'm just motoring through how to get this off the ground mm-hmm. with three people. What I'm not realizing is I'm driving or setting a wedge
absolutely
between me and Melissa,
mm-hmm.
right? Now you don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know prices. You don't know anything. And I'm thinking, you got to work. You know, it's the funny thing is when you hurt somebody and you think you are helping.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that a lot. But anyway, so that is what I would say started the seeds of discord.
Yes.
With this thing. So Melissa brought it up much later. Like, I don't feel involved in this at all.
Mm-hmm.
You just going hard, and that had never bothered you before, because going hard was just making videos and
sure
like doing stand-up shows. There was no, we weren't working, we had an understanding
sure.
with that. But this new thing, you wanted to be more involved. And probably the biggest mistake I made, and I made this more than once, is assuming that because you missed the one call and you were cooking that you didn't want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't stop to say, hey, when you don't talk,
mm-hmm.
it makes me feel like you don't care.
Right.
When you miss that conference call, it makes me feel like this is not important
right.
to you. And my nature is when I feel like people don't care or not important, I I just move on without them.
Right.
And no matter who that is, that's how, and that has helped me in other parts of my career to keep going when people flake or whatever. Uh-huh. But in my marriage, that was a very harmful approach.
Yes.
Right. So mind you, this is me figuring some of this stuff out months after, later, or a year after it happened. So now fast forward to this year. And I realized that after this many years of doing stuff, you are like, I want to be a part. How do we work this out? How do we do this and that? And I have been doing stuff on my own so long, it's hard to give any of that up.
Yeah.
Right. We just had Josh start editing the podcast. Right. So first time he takes the iPhone and he hadn't backed up the footage before he left. He was walking out. I was like, "Hey, you didn't back it up. Hey, you're leaving. Whatever you don't like."
Kevin never has realized that me. He is a micromanager, and for some reason this is like a new revelation for him, and I can't stand it.
I just want to make sure you do what I say when I say it and the way I would do it, please, and tell me when it's done. I know. I just want to know that you did everything I said at the moment I thought it.
The worst thing ever. And it is a new revelation for me because we've never had to work in this capacity together.
Yeah.
And so I have always been, number one, we've had this conversation, I've always been good at my job.
A beast.
I have always found pride in going to work and doing a good job. I have received bonuses that no one else in my company knows about. And it'd be good dollars. Mm-hmm. It'd be good dollars. just to say, Melissa, thank you. Mm-hmm. You are our employee of the year. Here, this is just for you. Don't tell nobody.
Right. We ain't even supposed to do this.
Yeah. So, like, I know and that's every job I've ever gone to since I was a teenager. I've always done a good job. And I've always worked by, let me manage my desk. If I do something wrong, come back. We can have that conversation. I'm always open to that. Mm-hmm. If you want to offer criticism, I'm open to that as well. But what I'm not going to have you do, did you finish this? So I've never worked well with micromanaging. And quite honestly, if I've heard this from several of my supervisors in like when I worked, was one thing I don't have to worry about, Melissa, is if I ask you to do something, I know it will get done. Like those are the comments that I receive. So when Kevin asks me to do something and he's like, did you, do you, have you, can you, I don't need your help. One thing I don't need is your help. So I'm going to need you to back up off me. And quite literally, we had this conversation. And this is the other thing. And I literally had to have this conversation with Kev. He's like, I feel like I'm just helping. Micromanaging is actually about trust. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think you don't. Like what you're communicating when you micromanage someone is that I don't trust that you are going to do what I asked you to do in a timely manner. So I feel like I need to check in on you along the way. Yes, that. You've never said that, though. You always say, I feel like I'm helping. No, you're not. What you're telling me is that you don't trust me and you want to hold my hand.
Well, when you are thinking of it, it doesn't. And my mind doesn't say that. And that's a really interesting thing. I think another podcast is worth what you think you are communicating
and
what you are actually communicating.
Or at the very least, what the person is receiving.
What the person is receiving.
Because the other part of that, and I've said this too, literally these are conversations that I have that we've had, is that micromanaging it's also condescending. It's communicating a lack of trust and you are thinking, I'm not going to do a good job. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things, and because I am who I am, I feel every piece of, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. I feel every piece of, I don't believe you're going to do a good job. And that, let me tell you something, it just don't work for me. And so that has been a source of tension for us. And in addition, again, just going back to the tour, there are specific moments during the tour that I can visualize that I wish I said something and I didn't. And it spawned. No, it didn't even spawn. It birthed the new campaign that I'm on this year, which is to just say it. And so that's another thing of how that affected me. And the domino effect is this just say it campaign, mm-hmm. which in turn is going to directly affect you because now
you've just been saying a lot lately.
Listen,
I'd be like, OK, I mean, who is this? what's up, Kev? What up? Why are you?
I'm going to tell you one of, let me see if it's in my phone, but one of the, a meme that I saw on the interwebs.
The Love Hour, where memes make a difference.
Yes, they do. Cause I screenshot it. Let me see if I can find it. Do you want to say something while I try to find it? Okay, here it is.
Okay.
This is the meme. If you avoid conflict to keep the peace, you start a war inside yourself.
What?
I saw that and I literally screenshot this back in December, actually. And I said, that is what happened.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing, trying not to be, this is another tidbit, women, trying not to be a nagging wife,
mm-hmm.
trying not to be demanding or asking yep. too much or, you know, taking up all of my space or speaking too loudly or being the angry black woman. All of those things. I want to be the cool wife. I want to be the wife that's, you know, all of those things. So I'm not going to say anything. And then you end up upset
mm-hmm.
at yourself that you allow these moments to happen and they bother you. And you didn't say anything.
And then your husband has no idea he's bothered you.
And now I'm resentful to you.
And you're mad at me for something you have not even communicated to me is a problem. And guess what I'm going to do? It again. Because I have no idea you're mad. And then one day I come in the room and you just brooding. And I'm like, why are you mad? I've been mad since 06.
Exactly.
I've been mad at you.
And that
how could you keep hurting me and doing something I don't like that I never told you I didn't like?
You are precisely
how right. dare you keep making the same mistake I have not
over
told you is a mistake.
Oh, and that's exactly what happens. And that's when divorces happen 25 years into
and you're
marriage.
Like, what happened?
Because you wake up one day and you realize
I don't.
Well, not only no, it's not even that. It is like I don't like you, but also what is deeper than that is I don't think you like me.
Yes,
because you've been treating me this way for years.
And I have. No
and why,
idea.
If you love me, you wouldn't have treated me that way to begin with.
Yes,
and but I also didn't speak up to teach you that that hurts my feelings. Don't
and
do it that
this,
way again.
I was so glad. You owned your part of it?
Oh, yes.
Because I was like, fam, I know she's mad. And I would ask you.
Yes.
What is bothering you? I'm fine.
Because nothing. The strong
You're
desire.
Lying.
Yes. That was a revelation from yes. Angel. But the strong desire to not come off as. Because one thing I realize about myself, even in this just like say it campaign, is that. What I expect, I can be demanding. I want you to raise the level at which you interact with me. That's what I expect. Why? Because I'm like, I read books. I'm listening to podcasts. I read all the books. I'm listening to a podcast every single day on yeah. relationships, on men, on women. How can I be a better spouse to you?
Yeah.
I want the same in return. That's demanding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do stuff as well. I make video. I play children. I travel 4 times a week.
But the point is that being that honest with myself and recognizing that sometimes can make me feel, or as women, I think when we have these like expectations and these standards, you question if you're lovable. Am I demanding more than I am worthy to be loved? Did I say that
yes,
correctly?
Yes, I got it.
And so you lower your standards or yeah. you accept less or you don't say anything. And inside you are warring with yourself.
And the thing I think you probably misunderstood or misunderstood is probably the right word.
We're going to go with it.
Yeah. I don't mind adjusting.
And I don't think most men would.
You got the right one. Best man on the planet. Know that.
But I mean, we're also speaking to an audience.
But for right now, but toot my own horn. But no, I do get that. Like, there's nothing worse, I imagine, than feeling away and then feeling like if I say something, you're going to turn it around on me.
Yes.
Right. But in our relationship, you know, I do whatever to make you happy. Like, even though,
but the thing is,
your hands are freezing.
I know. Because I touch him like we are warm. Most men are like that.
Like what?
When I read, and I've read a lot of books, and even when they do,
I read books.
I read all the books.
I do's my work.
I do's my work. But even when you hear the research that they do, most men are like, all I really want to do is make her happy and watch the game occasionally.
Bruh, for real though.
I know. When that's what I'm saying. That hour, most men, literally, that's all they want to do.
Yeah. What is hard though is that the work is hard.
Yes.
The work is hard for me and for every other man.
And that's the that's marriage.
That
it is the work of a lifetime. And it's not the I rearranged our whole house. I didn't rearrange the house. I cleaned and organized some stuff. You can't tell on the outside, but deep down in the inside, inside the closets and stuff.
I came home, the bathroom was had a black shower curtain. First of all, I came around the corner. I was like, there's a demon because the bathroom has a black hole in it.
Which, by the way, I was like, this is total like side note, but I bought literally the bathroom's black now. All the decorations in there is black. And at first I was like, this is like super dark. And I put it up and I was like, actually, this is like super sexy. I just love all the black.
And then you
the
get
black.
In the shower and you can't see
you
your
can't
underarms.
See nothing. I don't know. I have a thing for it.
She didn't think that far.
I did it. I don't care. I love it. I think it's the best thing ever. But what I was going to say is that doing all of that, physically, I was tired. My back hurt. Mm-hmm. My arms hurt from lifting stuff. I bought a drill. I was doing the most. I did all these things. And at the end of the night, I was physically drained and physically tired. Marriage isn't that type of work.
No.
It is the work of emotion. Mm-hmm. It is mental work. It is the work of I am here and I want to present and be my best self for this other person.
Yes.
And that's tired because sometimes you just want to be a jerk because you're in a bad mood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, men, you're probably like me. Biggest mistake I made in our marriage up until this year. If I ain't cheating, you got the right one.
Yes.
I'm a great father. I provide. Give you all my money. I'll be here. Check my phone at any time. And I felt like because I brought that to the table, the other stuff, I didn't even bother to check my blind spot for that. Right. The other part is I didn't realize I was talking to Sosa about this. He loves the Love Hour. He hit
shout
me
out
up.
To you, Chris.
Shout
if
out
you're
to you, Sosa, if you're watching this or making my shirts. I need the new hoodies. he's my boy. He was like, Kev, man, I'm realizing marriage is work from the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Sosa, this was just this weekend. I'm 15 years in, 20 in relationship, probably doing the most difficult work this year. As far as like the grandest adjustment of my personality to accommodate for the person you are becoming and to accommodate for the life path that our life is now on, going into business together, because it's always been Kev on stage, business was separate. Yeah. You know, you helped and stuff, but not much. Now we are like co-partners. It was all like a perfect storm for difficulty.
It was transition.
And there was some beef in the household. You want to talk about, you know, because Melissa, there's years of stuff she didn't say. And just because you don't say it doesn't mean it goes away.
It's a war inside yourself.
It's like when you put something in the trash, right? You push it down, push it down, you push it down, you push it down. At some point, you cannot push the trash down anymore.
Yep.
You have to take the trash out.
Yes.
To make room for new trash.
This was a great analogy.
Oh, I felt it as I started. And then what happens is that the stuff you push down, maybe you first put some meat in the trash.
Yeah, and it stinks.
And it stinks and it's moldy. You just, I'm going to put something else on top of that. So that's what you end up doing in your marriage. Instead of being like, I got to get this out, you compress it. And at some point, you can only contain so much. And now you're blowing up. And your partner is like, fam, what? How are you this up? I remember one time, I remember this specifically. We went to Toronto.
Okay.
Over.
This is your favorite example.
Because it brings to a point where I was just like, whoa. Melissa took some lingerie, right? And we were packing up to leave Toronto and she hadn't worn it. We had a great time. Like it was just noticed as she was packing. I was like, "Aw, man, you ain't even wear the lingerie." She turned around. "What do you want from me? Do you want me to be a business partner or your friend?" I was like, I like to tell. I will wait and wear the lingerie. That's all right. But she blew up and like listed all this stuff. And I was like, whoa. And I realized now that those were feelings you harbored.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that question just triggered. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
It did, but you missed it. I tried to explain to you the other day too, and you still ain't got it, but it's okay.
I had nothing to do. In my mind, I was just like,
I literally just explained this to you this week.
What is it?
It's more than this episode. Okay.
I'm glad you didn't explain right now, because you would have made me look wrong. But anyway, so that's the issue that we had. So
how do you navigate through? So we've just explained all of these transitions.
This is just one.
No, transition. I know, but this is the most recent one. And I feel like we're on the other side of that. We're coming through the other side of that.
It was our sex. We was not having as much. That's a great barometer if things are not going well or not. We had Keep not going. Beef like that in a, I can't even think of, it was about a 2 month time where it was on again, off again, like just weird energy.
Okay.
You know, and that was a long time for us. Like, we don't have a history of a extended,
sure,
unsettled things. Mm-hmm. What I've learned, the biggest, probably most important step is honest communication about how you feel. Yes. First.
Mm-hmm.
Before the other person can fix it, just understanding this, like, when you do this, it makes me feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, it makes me feel this way. I didn't understand that. This is how I do. And that was going back and forth. I remember one specific, Melissa has been telling me, you know, she's like, "I'm this great employee. And I told her, and she, you know, she was like, "Oh, that's a good point." I was like, "I've never worked with you before." So
meaning
I don't know.
Meaning the 9 to 5.
Meaning a 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So I'm not aware of how great of an employee you, sure, are. Like you're assuming that I know. Like, I know you're good at your job because, mm-hmm, I know you get the bonuses, but I've never worked with you before. And when I micromanage, which I admit that I do, it's more
good
of
for you.
Yeah, it's more of, yeah, I try to be self-aware. I'm working on it.
You are working on being self-aware. I have noticed that.
I am.
And it came even for, we're planning a, can I say
it? You can say it.
Okay. So we're planning a conference, and this is the Love Hour, this relationship stuff. It's my heart. It really is truly my heart. And so Kevin had this phone call with someone, and they, I don't even know how it happened. All of it I know is he came into the room and had a venue and volunteers and a full plan. And I literally said, "I need you to back off.
Take a step back. Fam.
Take a step back. I need you to take a step back." Because, number one, Kev just has a natural takeover spirit anyways. Like, just his natural personality is, "I'm here now. So
your boy is landed.
So this is going to be
get on my back.
My show." And I don't have that personality. But I want to have so much involvement in this. And I know if Kev takes it over, just naturally, just part of the dynamic that we have, I will step back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that for this. And so I was like, literally, I didn't want, it was one of those, this is a just say it moment, mm-hmm, Melissa. This is a time where either you're going to say it or you're not, and you're going to end up upset because it's going to be 18 months from now, and you're going to realize that this is Kevin's vision and not yours. And so I said it, and we had a really good, and I just feel like I'm helping. You're not helping. I want you to not help, actually. I want you to help when I ask you questions. I don't want you to be forward thinking. I don't want you to come up with ideas. I want you to just not help me right now. How did you take that?
No, actually? I said, actually what happened was, how did you take it? Because you first said, "I need you to take a step back." And I said, "No problem."
Mm-hmm.
"I'll take a step back. When you need me, let me know."
Yes.
You at first took that as, you were like,
because you're also changing what that means to you.
What do you mean? What,
because
do you don't know what I mean to myself.
Yes, I do.
You don't know what,
because
I mean,
normally you're like, "Oh, you don't need my help. Don't ask me for nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't touch me. Don't nothing. None of the things don't." And that wasn't.
Don't even ask me what time it is, or I have to say the word hour.
Like, literally,
ain't no
Kev
love
is
hour.
Very much like, "Oh, you don't need my help. Don't ask me for nothing."
But I didn't say it. I wasn't.
And that's what I'm saying.
And I said in this moment, I said, "This is not me doing
that." And that was the further part of that dialogue, yeah, when I said that was, And then you were like, no, that's not actually
you
what
said,
I mean.
Actually, what you said was, you said, I accept that. Would be first when I said I'll step back, you said, yeah. I accept that. I choose to accept that because mm-hmm. I asked for that. And then I was like, now don't take this the wrong way. Like, I really right. will still give you ideas.
And that's the part I needed.
Yes, because I don't want to overstep my bounds. But, you know, I want to make this easier for you.
Right.
But what I realized is you want this to be your journey and you don't necessarily want it to be your thing, which is fine.
Right.
And I still come up with ideas. We talked about it. Yes, you called me at the gym today. We, you know, I've talked about it for 30 minutes. I wasn't really working out that hard anyway. But what you have to be able to do to handle these transitions, the first thing, you have to express your feeling.
Yes.
I have to express my feelings. And you have to have what I call difficult conversations. Luckily, I can say this without a lie. Melissa and I don't really argue mm-hmm. in that traditional sense
sure.
of like yelling, fussing. Like, it's not my personality. It's not her personality. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been the nature of our relationship. And I realize that's not the case for a lot of mm-hmm. people. But we do have difficult conversations mm-hmm. where it's very hard to be open about your feelings. It's very hard to hear somebody say something that you disagree with or whatever, or the reaction. But that's what's been helping us is
for
you
sure.
to hear me say, here was my intention.
Yes.
I did not understand how you were taking it. What can I do? Actually, we talked about this in another podcast. What can I do so it doesn't come across like this?
Mm-hmm.
How can I do this? You saying your honest opinions and your feelings so I can make an adjustment, because then you realize, okay, I made a mistake there. Let me adjust this. Made a mistake there. Let me adjust this. Now some things start to click in a row. You're like, oh, this is working. This has been, you know, a couple of things where mm-hmm. I've handled them in the right way. And the thing is, for your relationship, you, the viewer, the listener, you have to realize that for your spouse. And
yes.
And one thing I had to remind Melissa, like, I love you. I want to be married to you forever.
And
I don't want this to break us up.
And honestly, that is probably my biggest advice tip here. Like, the practical piece is that remembering that you guys are on the same side.
You know what? A lot of times in marriage, I feel like people feel like they're on different teams.
Yes.
I am the Seahawks. You are the 49ers.
Right.
We are on the same team. You may be on offense. I may be on defense.
Sure.
But we're both on the same team.
Right.
And I think that's the most important part that you needed to hear is like, I want to work this through. I want to support you in a way that feels like support.
Again, in general, that's an important step. And I think that when you're having those difficult conversations, whoever is expressing their feelings or being the open one or being the vulnerable one and stating how they feel, whether it's the man or the woman, it's important for the receiving person to remember that their intent is not to hurt you. It's to establish a bond so you can move together in a healthy
yes.
relationship. And you can't do that if I'm not being honest with my feelings.
Absolutely. Because I can only go with what you are saying.
Right.
It is unfair for you to hold something against me that you have not shared
right.
the truth with me.
And it's unfair to the person holding that information and to assume that they're not going to take it well. So therefore,
right.
I'm going to just keep it.
You have to do your part, which is sharing it. And that is difficult.
Yeah,
you know,
it is
you might
difficult.
Feel like I shouldn't say this. I don't want to nag. I don't want to upset them. They're in a good mood. They're in a bad mood. But the more you don't do that, because the thing is,
the worse it's going to be and the more resentment you're going to build.
Absolutely. So now I've got to undo. So and here's the other part. And I want to just say this quickly as far as my personality of micromanaging. The reason I micromanage is because for so long I had to do it all.
And you're just impatient.
And yeah, you you are right. No one works as fast as I work.
No one.
No, because no one cares as much about my art
mm-hmm.
as I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the living breed. Josh is a great teammate. He works fast. Mm-hmm. But after he shoots this, I mean, he might not edit this immediately.
Mm-hmm,
he might say, man, I'm just going to grab something to eat
yeah.
before I edit. I will be importing footage the moment this phone turns
right,
off.
Right.
Right. So if I hit Josh, he's like, oh, man, I pick up some food. I drop my brother off. Like, he has a life. Here's his thing.
Yeah.
Josh ain't never missed a deadline ever.
Exactly. And that's how I operate.
And I'm like, but you didn't do it when I would have done it. It will be edited right now, uploaded. Why are you hungry? I don't eat. I eat video files. I eat gigabyte sandwich. I'm not hungry till that video is uploading.
It's so true.
Because that's what I would do. The thought I want guests booked, hotel, car. Why are you still checking prices? Don't check price. Buy the first flight you need. Because I'm the type, also, if I don't do it when I think about it, I will forget.
Yeah.
So what I've had to learn as Kevin, the creator, mm-hmm. I need to step back and trust you, mm-hmm. trust Josh, mm-hmm. trust Jason, trust Shari, trust Candace. Because if I don't...
These were members on the team.
Members on the team. I'm going to be making these short videos all the time. I'm going to be making... I will not be able to get bigger.
No.
With me holding yes. and touching everything. Mm-hmm. And guess what, Kevin? You got to understand, somebody's going to drop the ball mm-hmm. on something. Mm-hmm. I dropped the ball on my own self.
Right.
Very rare. And what I keep going back. What got me here, the reason I am this way is because people drop the ball and I'm like, fam, don't worry about it. I got it. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. I got it. But I can't don't worry about it. I got it. My wife.
No.
That ideology in business with employees or coworkers, you can separate that.
Yeah.
But we got to come home together. And we talked about, we had one difficult conversation. I was like, Liz, I don't want this. I want to do this with you. And if that means we stay at this level, then that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not tripping. But now we are working through a process. I think that I wanted to bring up one thing that I thought worked really well. Oh, I remember. Melissa for Aska is kind of co-producing with me. Yeah, right. Yes. So she's absolutely. And her and Josh and Candace are now helping me where I am weak with organization. Just mm-hmm. not my thing. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing. Yeah. I think you're very rarely creative and organized equally well. You know, those being balanced. People who are super organized.
Different parts of the brain.
Different parts of the brain. So.
Like scientifically, those are different parts of the brain.
Yeah. You were pulling the questions for Aska. Mm-hmm. Melissa has a personality. She doesn't always check her text messages. You'll text her something, and if you text her 3-4 things, whatever you sent her first,
I'm not scrolling back.
It gets bumped up. She be like, fam, you know what? I didn't even see that.
I'm not scrolling.
Didn't even see that, right? So we're working together. I'm letting her pull the questions for Aska, right? I'm going to tell y'all the honest truth, and then I'm going to tell you how I worked it out. She's like, okay, Kev, I'm going to pull the questions. She's been doing great at it. She actually found a way to send them to the guests in a better way than I did. And she actually culled the questions and took out the repeat questions where I was just every question typing down. Melissa would find a way to be like, it's really only 15 questions. And I'm taking the repeats on. Yeah. People are asking a lot of the same
questions.
So this was great. So the other day, I'm in Baylor. I say, babe, I put the questions. I didn't say babe because we were beefing a little bit. But I said... List. Oh, no, actually, everything was cool. Like, we're cool this day. I put the questions up, right? Then I think I took off or something, mm-hmm. and I think you were shooting a video. So I sent 2 or 3 other things, mm-hmm. and then Jay was in that. We just start talking about something else, right? So now I'm at Baylor, and you never acknowledged that I got it, Kev. I know that you put the questions up, right? So I'm like, man, she said when you asked me to do something, don't check. I got it. You can trust that I got it, right? So I'm like, okay, it's on a 24-hour thing on Instagram. Like, if she doesn't pull these questions, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask them on Periscope or somewhere else. I don't want to have to do that either. And I don't want to check. So I'm kind of like stuck. So what I did is I text her. I said, hey, I noticed that you didn't acknowledge anything about the questions. Mm-hmm. And in our relationship, sometimes when I've texted you something, if you don't respond about it, sometimes you missed it.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure you saw it and you got it. And if you did, just throw a thumbs up on iMessage to acknowledge that you got it. That way I know not
signals to you that I got it.
That I got it. You don't have to say nothing else. Mm-hmm. Now I know I don't have to worry about it. And she said, and I mean, my heart was doom, 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 doom. Because you know when you text somebody, you never know how they're going to take it and all this and that.
Tone is all jacked up.
Tone is all jacked up. So I try to be like very, like, here's how I thought about this. Yeah. Here's how this would help me work better. And she said, fair, okay. And I was in the car like, let's go, Kev. You put that in a way that was easy to understand. You know, I used my knowledge and experience with you, so you knew it wasn't just boom. And you understood that. And
I
you
did.
Said, fair. I got it. And guess what? I didn't tell you this. Okay, I'm going to be honest with y'all. She said, okay, she had already pulled the questions.
I did.
She had already formatted them. Before I sent that text, I just turned my screen record on and I just look at all the questions. Because in case you didn't have it, I was never going to tell you, like, I got them. If you didn't have it, I have them. I did not want to lose them. Because there was some, because I was going in there and just, because I just like to see
what the questions
are talking about. Yeah. But I know you're doing your job. Because sometimes I'll text you, I'll be like, man, this person didn't get as many questions as I thought. Or like, the Trump supporter, literally, the most questioned of all.
But all of them just say why. 70
of them.
Why?
70% of them are just the word why. Just why? So we'll text back and forth about what we find interesting about it. But I just thought it was really good of us,
yes,
to work together so that you don't feel like I'm micromanaging you. Mm-hmm. I can trust you. And the same thing happens with, you know, with Josh as well. Like, Josh will give me an update. And here's the one thing you've been holding me accountable for on a lot of stuff. I tell you often in joke, but it's true. Nobody who works with me moves as fast as I do.
It's your facts.
No one. When I have a thought, I go from me and Mel, your sister, are like this in a lot of different ways. And they say this is a trait of a CEO. And it's not always a great trait, but it is a trait. Thought to action.
No lead time.
No lead time.
They're the same.
Idea. Thought, and it has helped in so many ways. But when you are building a team, you can't go thought to action like that. So for this new thing we're working on, the blueprint, I just want to use this final example and then I'll stop talking about this. Here's where you helped. I have thought, I have action. You say, oh, I love this idea, Kev, but this touches a lot of different people. This touches Josh for photos. We got a branding thing. This touches Tish. She's going to have to create the flyers. This touches Candace. She's going to have to book this. This touches me in this way, Jay in this way. Instead of you calling Josh, calling this person, calling that person, doing this, how about you do what we did at my job? We have a launch meeting, and now you give everybody their task, set realistic expectations, and we can all go, right? That was you helping me.
Right.
And what that works because I was able to share that with you first, where Kev, 6 months ago, would have been already calling venues and not even including you.
Yeah.
So now that we've worked, we're working through, because I don't want to say we're on the other side of it now. And I can honestly say that.
It's a work in progress.
But it's still a work in progress because now you've got the combination of me undoing habits, Melissa doing a new thing, and the tension that can create. But I think going into these transitions with the idea that my spouse loves me and wants to work it out is the first step.
Yes.
Your spouse also has to be willing to want to do that. And then they have to know that's going to mean the way we used to operate is likely gone forever.
The status quo is no longer.
And that's why I love my analogy about the iPhone update.
Well, and your computer analogy about, this is our number one advice, and we can end on this topic.
Okay.
Or this point, is that don't expect anything to stay the same. And don't expect anything to change.
Man.
And honestly, both of those things are true.
Absolutely.
Because there is certain core programming that won't change.
Yes.
And so you have to learn to love your spouse as is from the moment you meet them. And still be flexible enough to know that they are going to evolve.
Yes.
And there are certain things that they will change. Their mindsets will change.
Yes.
Transitions will happen and it will affect them and it will forever change them. And so while they are opposites, they are both simultaneously true.
And in some ways, it's the becoming, the Michelle Obama. In order for you to become who I feel like you can be, you got to break out of that.
Absolutely.
I don't say stuff shell.
Yes.
Because you have to say stuff. You're going to have to say stuff about your speaking fees, what you will take. It's going to start here.
Yeah.
And you build that comfort here.
Absolutely.
And if I want, and this is why people get divorced. Somewhere along the line, you decide, I'm not willing to put the work in for this version.
Yes.
And Melissa,
I don't like this new version.
Honestly, when you first started Just Say It, I was like, whew, she's tough. It reminded me, interestingly enough, I can be honest about this. It reminded me about the first time I met you.
Yes.
When I first met you, I was like, this girl ain't playing with nothing. Yep. She ain't playing. Like, if you're going to bring it, you're going to bring it for real. Mm-hmm. And slowly you stop being that person. Did. And now I'm getting back to...
I don't want
to
cry.
Violence. I'm getting back to 99 Melissa, where you was like, this is who I am, yes. Take it or leave. And not in the negative sense right. Now. It is in the sense of I'm finding the person I used to be. And in order to be this better version of myself, mm-hmm. I got to go back to an older version. And I got to re-upload some of that software. Absolutely. Where I was like, I am strong. I got something to say. You're not going to run over me. That's to the world.
Yes.
And I'm like, I recognize her. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen her for a long
time. I haven't either, and I missed her.
Time. I mean,
shut up.
There are some things I liked. but that's the thing I loved about you. Remember when I first met you?
Yes.
That was the thing I loved about you the most. Yeah. I was like, no one has ever talked to me this way. Mm-hmm. People are usually fawning over me, and they weren't attractive, but they were fawning over me. And so I wasn't. And that's why I was like, oh, I like this girl's a challenge. Mm-hmm. She's going to be tough. She's like, oh, this is great. And then somewhere along the way, you just like, mm-hmm. you know, came small and small and small. And the people I keep around me is the people who'll be like, Kev, nah.
Yes.
I remember last week you and Jay was on some Kev, nah. Mm-hmm. I had to think about it. And I was just like, you're right. And I did. And you were like, good on you. Josh be jumping in stuff we don't even ask him about. If he got a chance to say, Kev, nah, he'll say it.
I love it.
Do what you got to do. But Kev, that doesn't work like that.
And you
that.
Need those people.
But you got to trust them.
Yes.
Because Josh, Jay, you have nothing, but we all want to grow together. But the point is, I don't know. I lost it somewhere along the way.
So I think we can close there. We're gonna stay the same. Not stay the same. Everything will stay the same, and nothing will change.
Yeah. No. You can't get married expecting everything to stay the same. You can't get married expecting everything to change. And you don't know which is gonna be which.
And honestly, it's a combination of both.
It's a combination.
People are gonna evolve. People are
and
gonna grow.
And the other thing, and I know you'd be wanting to close the podcast, but I want to come and say a couple more things.
Go for it.
You have to be who you have to be for you.
Yes.
Before it affects me.
Absolutely.
And you hope, Kev, I want to work this out. But I cannot go back. Yes. The same way when it clicked in my mind that we needed to move from Washington mm-hmm. to LA, if you were going to be like, we have to stay, it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. That's tension.
There's nothing about me that was going to settle for a 9-to-5
in Washington State
anymore.
Right.
Same thing with ADD. When it was right for the time it was right, I've been using the analogy, if it was like college, mm-hmm. it was great. And I love the people I met there and so many good relationships. But when it was time to move on, it's that 9-to-5, Kev, and the check every other week.
Yeah.
You can forget about it.
Right.
I cannot go back to that. Right. So... And that's the same thing that's happening with you. You're like that quiet, meek Melissa that didn't say her feelings to you and therefore might not say it to other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that person's gone now. So let's work together to love the new version of me, because it's funny. I was using this analogy about how much I've changed in my life, unrelated to marriage, mm-hmm. in the last 20 years, right? I've gained weight, lost weight, hairline grew, hated avocados.
And now you
love avocados.
I know.
Hated spicy food.
I know. Started that's so random love, that you like
so
it
so random, right? So I used to be super into sports, would watch college football all day on Saturday.
Subscribe to the magazine.
NFL on Sunday, had magazines. I don't follow sports nearly as closely as I do now. So if I have all those changes just in life, how can I expect to be the exact person I was when we first met, 16 or 21 when we got married? I'm 35.
When you think about this, when we went to dinner last night, one of the girls was saying, she was like, I don't even still have the same friends from when I was 17. Like, even that, like, you go through just natural phases and transitions in life, and that causes you to meet new people, experience new things. Sometimes you have to break off friendships, and they don't have to be like, we fell out. It's just, you know, it just happens because life happens.
There's
and that's
two
the same
people.
Thing. From 17?
From 17 that I even talk to on any regular basis.
I don't even know that. No, family, immediate family doesn't count.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize my thumb was on that. Aunt and Ken.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to see Aunt every day. I haven't seen Aunt on a consistent basis in like 2 years. Yeah. So even that relationship with my best friend changed dramatically. Exactly. I see Doughboy all the time now. I see Josh 3 or 4 times a week. I didn't even know them 5 years
ago. And so, that's the same, like those, the same thought process as far as those transitions and just all of that just also occurs in marriage. And you just have to be willing to do those transitions, navigate them together. So that way you don't end up drifting apart. And that's what happens. Someone updates something. Kev, this podcast is about to be 2 hours.
I don't care. They still watching. This one, this transition, the last thing I want to say. How much time we have, Josh?
Yeah, plenty of time.
Okay. The transition of you having a baby prepared for change.
Yes.
Hormone. Didn't know exactly what was going to shake out at, but I saw that one coming. Mm-hmm. Your mom and dad getting divorced. Didn't see them getting divorced coming.
I didn't see it.
No, but when they got divorced, okay, that makes sense.
Sure.
That's going to change. Same thing having JoJo, 2 kids. Mm-hmm. Whew. Me getting fired, us moving, was prepared for all those transitions to expect something. This last one, the you just saying it in combination with the difficulty of bringing these two lives together, I can honestly say I did not see this one coming.
I didn't either.
In the same way. And this is the most difficult one.
It is.
So I was unprepared for it because a lot of life transition, everybody's, you get married, it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. When you have your first baby, it's going to be different. Yeah. When I get fired, obviously it's going to be different. Like I'm staying at home with the kids. Yeah. So, but this, I was like, this is going to be smooth. Nah, not smooth at all. Chunky peanut butter, this transition was. And I was expecting this, and you know what I mean? Like, so I just think, you know, in marriage, you have to be prepared for the transition you didn't see coming.
Yes.
And you have to treat it the same way you would the ones you saw coming. Because it could be the ones you don't see coming that could be the ones that break you.
Amen.
I feel like I had a good game today.
Did you get all your thoughts out?
I did. I'm never going. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it's in my head, I don't care if this podcast is 3 hours.
I'm not going to keep you out here for 3 hours.
You listen to 2 hour podcasts all the time. Melissa. All the time.
I know, but I'd be like, don't nobody want to hear us talk for 2 hours?
They be watching and listening for an hour plus.
They can save some
for later. Like leftovers. I'm going to go back and listen to the rest. we'll let y'all decide, but I think...
No, they've said longer podcasts, but I always feel bad. I don't want to be like rude.
Rude?
I want to respect people's time.
They chose to play this. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. They chose to listen to this.
Okay, I hear you, Kevin.
Here's the thing about Melissa and work. Josh knows, I know. You might have not ever worked a job that you hate and that you have nothing to do. I was at Boeing and I couldn't think of more things. I would have loved an hour and a half podcast on a day I got nothing or I don't want to do nothing. Yes. Put it into my face. You're always busy at work.
Because I will always find something to do.
I won't. I'll find more things not to do. I want more things in my ears. People talking. Kev, have you done this? No. And stop asking me. I'll do it when I finish this podcast. Oh, it's an hour and a half today. Great. I got to listen to this. Take my 10-minute break. Listen to another one. Take my lunch. Maybe I'll work. Then more podcasts. So anyway, we are not being rude. They are enjoying the content.
I hope you are.
Or they just stop listening.
Or they stop listening.
Either way, I'm going to say what I got to say, you know? But I think I love our audience is listening almost all the way through. I hope that. You better be. I'll fire on you.
All right. Any last comments?
Last comments. One, I want to thank everybody who bought a limited edition 95 hoodie.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the 95. That was amazing.
Melissa is working on some... certificates of authenticity for you.
That's on my to-do list today.
And there's some special codes and discounts that I didn't even announce this.
There's
for life.
Yes.
There's a special 95
two things
email.
There's going to be a special 95 newsletter that goes out for the 95, but also
this is the entire 95.
This is the this is the Hoodies 95.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there is the Kev on Stage newsletter, which you also should be subscribed to because there will be special discount codes for merch and for tours. And we'll be announcing the registration for the Love Hour conference coming in 2020 and like all of those things. So make sure you join.
So if you want to stay abreast.
Yes.
Is there a place to
I was just going to say, I'm actually going to get the text code that's on my list of things to do too.
Okay. Because I know a lot of websites, they have a pop-up. I personally hate that pop-up of like, join my mailing list. And it's like a little banner that...
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. I hate that. So if people want to do a mailing list, it should be like at the bottom, like join our mailing list type of thing, yeah, or the text code, whatever.
I might do the pop-up.
But,
But you could just exit out.
Yeah, but then you have to do it every time.
Okay, go.
It's the worst. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you guys for that. That was amazing. And you guys bought the new shirts. That's all I want to say. Goodbye.
All right. So thank you so much. If you haven't already, make sure that you check out kevonstage.com for all the upcoming tour dates. The tour is launching January 31st. And make sure that you are watching and listening for the month of February. I'm like super excited for the content next month. And I think that's it.
Yes. We need to do what NPR does as
Which
well.
Which is?
If you like this podcast, we also have Righteous and Ratchet, which airs on Wednesdays. It covers pop culture with me and Doughboy, and Aska, an interesting interview series with Big Irish J and Kev on Stage that starts the first Monday in February. And we should do that on Righteous and Ratchet, and we should do it on Aska.
Okay.
Because NPR does a good job of like cross-promoting their podcast. Okay.
All right. That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining us. Until the next time.
Bye-bye.